on the telephone line with us today after a very busy week, Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. Neil, do you feel like you can exhale a bit, maybe for a couple of days?
You know what, Brownie? It's just on to the next part of the cycle, and that is preparing for postseason is the ideal goal. It's digging out from all of the things that that we weren't able to spend our time and energy on as we went into the trade deadline. And it's ultimately making sure that we're putting our scouts and our analysts in the right positions to make great recommendations this offseason for moves to continue to push this thing forward. So never really a time to exhale, just a different part of the cycle.
What do you think about all that took place, Neil, as you look back on it now? Do you almost marvel at the what you were able to pull off? Because certainly the fan base was literally stunned by it.
And the goal is to put this club in a position to win, to have a legitimate chance to make the postseason, to have a legitimate chance to win a World Series. And we've made a sequence of decisions over the years that some have not felt was in an attempt to do that, and some were longer-term plays. This obviously is a shorter-term play, and what's in our minds great about it is it's not a short-term play. This isn't all about the 2018 club. We didn't go all in on this club at the risk of our future. We've built this club stronger, and in our minds, we've improved the 19 club. We've improved the 20 club, and we've got, again, we still have a good farm system. We still have good players coming through that are ready to help this club, be it tomorrow, next month, next year, or the coming years. And so there's a good spot to be. The end goal for us is not to create a short-term buzz. The end goal for us is to create a team that can win a World Series and does so.
Tell us about the buzz that you saw, though, with, I don't know we've ever seen a pitcher give up 5 runs, 4 earned, and 4 and a third innings and yet receive a standing ovation. But that was the case with Chris Archer, who was obviously amped up and maybe too much so, but couldn't have had a better welcoming. And he talked about that here at PNC Park.
No, just a phenomenal outpouring from our fan base. To Chris and to Kella as well, not quite to the same level, but to Chris for his debut, for everything that we believe he's going to bring, not only to this team, to this clubhouse, but to this city, and they've caught a quick snapshot of that. Again, we talk a lot about developing the whole person, developing the whole man, and not just the baseball skills, and Chris Archer is going to be able to help us play well, win games, but he's also going to help in that clubhouse, and he is going to pour himself into this community.
Neil, can you take us back at all to when you first thought that you might think about acquiring a guy like Chris Archer? How far back can you go?
Well, the first time we asked about him was 11 years ago. It was the offseason of 2007 when I was coming from the Indians. Kyle Stark at that time was our farm director. Kyle had come through Cleveland, really just about every department he had a role in as a support and as a guy that just got things done over there. And Kyle pounded the table for Chris in a conversation that we were having with Cleveland at the time. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get that done. We then asked for Chris after he got traded for the Cubs. We weren't able to make that happen. And we've been in the sequence as Chris has been in that cycle. Unfortunately for him, it's a tough go to have your name out there several times. But we've never been able to put it together until this last week and feel great about finally acquiring him. The thought was we've added, what we believe to be a top of the rotation starter that can help us this year and 3 years into the future. We've got a good core in place. We've still got good depth in our system. And we felt that by adding these two pitchers, it gives everybody else a chance to take a deep breath in the rotation and pitch to their levels. It lengthens our bullpen. It gives Clint more options out of the bullpen. And while we gave up players who have a chance to be really good major league players, we still feel good about our depth and still feel good about the ability to supplement this club, whether it's through additional trades somewhere down the road or it's directly because these players come in and help us win games at the major league level.
Neil, obviously, though, you had to make a philosophical decision, really a change when the team went on that run. So at what point did you and your staff kind of decide that, okay, you know what, we are going to go after a guy like a Chris Archer?
Well, we had been having those internal discussions, and I believe we'd even begun to lay some groundwork with some bigger moves. Because this trade deadline was never going to be about trading players that were going to be here for multiple years. When the club hit rock bottom and we were 7 games under .500, losing 5 consecutive games, some of them badly, to teams that we were chasing, the thought was, okay, maybe 18 isn't our year. How do we strengthen 19, 20, 21, and beyond? And so it was never about trading the names that were out there, the Jamison Tyons. It wasn't even a consideration for us. The Felipe Vasquez wasn't even a consideration for us, because we felt coming into this year, this team could be one of the 5 National League playoff teams. We felt that we played well enough early in the year to show that okay, well, we need some guys to develop. We need some things to go well. We need to do a good job in the front office. And then we had that really tough stretch. So even in that tough stretch, it wasn't about a change of philosophy. It was, okay, if these players aren't going to be here next year, maybe we can get something in return. And there were some pretty good players around baseball that were in small trades in July that have turned into really good major league players. And through good scouting, through good development, through good analytics, through good strength and conditioning and medical staff. So our thought was, okay, could we turn our guys that are leaving at the end of the year into something? And we began to walk down that road, and this club responded. And this club went out. They put together a fantastic stretch and showed us that what we did the first 45 days or so of the season was real, and that we were closer to that than what we did the next 45 days of the season. So, and we had been talking really up until the week before we hit rock bottom about trying to add to this club. And so those conversations have been ongoing. And so I don't know if it's a shift. I'm going to get accused of backpedaling. But the reality was, until we hit rock bottom, we really had been anticipating adding to this club. And if we were going to subtract from the club, it was going to be players who weren't going to be here next year versus a wholesale turnover.
Is it fair to say, Neil, that this was a unique move by you, by Neil Huntington, that you unloaded in this deal some big-time prospects and, of course, 2 players that were at the big league level?
Well, it was a unique move in that it came together. We've had a number of conversations where we've been talking about top-end prospects for top-end players, and for a variety of reasons, they didn't come to fruition. So this isn't the first time we've been willing to talk about some of our best prospects. We just haven't been able to find the right deal. We've thought we've gone far enough, and we've fallen short, or in some cases, the team just chose another deal. They liked our deal, but they just chose the other deal for a different reason. And so it's different in that it came to fruition. And we've added, again, 2 players that we think the world of that can be here, not only to help this year's club, but future year clubs.
Just out of curiosity, last Sunday when we were doing your show here, did you have a good idea that the deal was going to be done either for Kella or Archer or both?
Really did not. And that's the tough part of this situation is, you're playing, not poker, so to speak, but you think you're close and somebody comes in late, or you think you need to do X and you need to do Y to get a deal. And sometimes you think you need to do X and you need to do a little bit less, but you push forward to get that deal. We felt like we had players. We knew we had players that clubs liked on multiple fronts with multiple opportunities to acquire. It was a matter of refining our focus, where we thought we could make the biggest impact, adding a top-end starter, adding a top-end back-end bullpen guy we thought were the biggest impacts we could make based on what was available, based on what was out there, and based on what the asks were. And then, okay, how do we push this forward? Can we get it for less than they're asking for? How much less? Or are we willing to go to this level to bring in this player? And obviously we answered in both those cases that we were able to go to the level beyond where we typically would go, and I understand that. But we've been at these levels before. We just weren't able to bring the deals together.
Did you get the sense at all that the Rays were almost surprised that you met their asking price? I ask you that because I heard somebody on MLB Network suggest that the Rays were so pleased with the fact that you acquiesced on their request that they thought for a second about maybe asking for somebody else and then thought better of it.
Well, anytime a team meets your ask, and we've been on the flip side of that, and they meet your ask, you always wonder, could you have gotten more? And I can tell you without hesitation, we would have turned in a different direction had there need to be more in this deal.
And that's that poker game right there you're talking about, right, Neil? Because they have to know, the Rays, that, you know what, maybe if we ask for somebody else, well, that could be a deal breaker, and then you're done.
Absolutely, and that's the reason so many deals get done at the deadline is we are a deadline-driven society in general, but even within our game, and we've gotten less so, where you used to see everything come in at 3:55 on the day of the trade deadline when the deadline's at 4 o'clock, but you're seeing more and more deals get done earlier because teams, mostly because of the medical process, banging up against the 4 o'clock deadline now is becoming a bit problematic. And even in our situation, as we talked about, I think maybe last radio show or two radio shows ago, if you are pursuing X and you think you're going to get a deal and at 3:55 you're told the team's going in a different direction, it's hard to pivot at that point in time. So more and more teams are resistant to getting to the deadline and risking not getting the deal they want and then not being able to pivot quickly enough.
More with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. Pirates are hosting the Cardinals today at PNC Park. We're on the line with the Bucco GM on the Pirates Baseball Network. We are back here at PNC Park, the Pirates and Cardinals. Kids Sunday on the telephone line is the Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington, who acquired Chris Archer and Keone Kella at the deadline. And we're talking a lot about that. And Neil, you did have to give up a lot so far. We don't even know who the other player will be, but Taylor Hearn goes in the Kella deal. And a player to be named, and Austin Meadows, Glass now go, and the Archer deal, and a player to be named. Are you generally a guy who maybe worries about giving up that kind of talent?
Well, our focus is always what is coming in the door, and should be what's coming in the door, and how are they going to help you? How do they fit? How long are they going to help you? And then you start to focus on, okay, what are we giving up, and what is the long-term projection? What's the reality? You always prefer the known versus the unknown. Sometimes the unknown becomes much better than you expect. Sometimes it's nowhere near what you expect. And so our focus is really on what we're getting, how strongly we feel about their projected performances and production and how they fit on the club going forward. You're always worried about giving up more than you'd like to. But in order to get good players, you've got to give up good players. And in this situation, we believe we returned two really good players. And in doing so, gave up a handful of players that have a chance to be good big league players as well.
Neil, when will we know who the player to be named later is?
There's a process that will work out over the course of the remainder of the minor league season. There's a date certain by which the clubs will let us know the players that they've chosen. We'll complete that process and go through there, but nothing is imminent unless the other club decides that they've easily focused on the player and they want to acquire that player. So it could be a while, in the Tampa situation, it is another very good prospect. In the Texas situation, it's a good prospect as well, maybe not to the pedigree of the player in Tampa, but we've acquired two really good players.
Do you, Neil, give them a list of guys that they can pick from?
It generally is driven by the opposing club. They ask for these players. Are they available? Would you talk about? Would you discuss? Sometimes we'll add players to the list. You whittle the list down, and you come to agreement knowing that you are at some point in time are going to have to give up one of those players on that list and go forward. So it's typically done because the opposing team wants a little bit more time to scout or there's a question to answer on the players. We've done it at points in time in the past, the challenge is as a competitive team, it ties up a few more prospects that you can't trade because they're on a player to be named later list that another team's choosing from.
Neil, what was the conversation like with Archer and Kella?
Both were awesome conversations. I had just come out of our clubhouse from seeing Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow and telling them how much we appreciate how they've got so many people here that will be rooting for them and pulling for them and that we want them to go be great and stepped out and got the text with Chris's phone number, called him he remembered our time together in Cleveland. He remembered there were rumors that we've been chasing him and just upbeat. He was incredibly excited to become part of a playoff run, to become part of a team that has pursued him. And he knew we gave up a lot to get him and just excited to come to Pittsburgh and be a part of this. And Keone was the same way. He just wants to win. He is a very direct and very straightforward guy. He just wants to help a team win ball game. He wants to go do his job, and to have the enthusiasm and the excitement in both of those young men's voices as we had the initial conversation with them was just awesome.
I know you've been asked this a lot this past week, but just to kind of reiterate, some people think this is a kind of a shift in terms of ownership and Bob Nutting's idea of the direction of the club. But isn't this kind of a continuation? This is you talked about this in the wintertime, those tough calls you had to make when you traded McCutchen and Cole, that you didn't feel like a complete overhaul was necessary, that you thought the club could compete sooner rather than later. And indeed, they showed you that this summer with that good run, and now you're just kind of continuing that plan.
We are, and again, we understand the perception of what we did this off season, and we moved two very good players who were absolutely crucial parts of our run in 13, 14, and 15. Those two players were here in 16 and 17. We weren't good enough. One was going to be leaving as free agency after this year. One was going to be leaving as to free agency after next year. We liked this core, some of which came in those trades, some of which was coming through our system, some of which was coming through external additions or just continued growth and development. And so the opportunity to add a Chris Archer, who's, again, a top-of-the-line starter for three-plus years, for Keone Kella for two-plus years, with the guys that we have coming, we felt that this was the right time. And Bob was engaged. He's always engaged in the process. He's always engaged and asks really good questions and is very clear in his direction that he wants this team to be competitive year in and year out, that he wants this team to have a legitimate chance to win a World Series championship. And he was very clear that he was very supportive. If we felt that this team was a good team, we felt future teams were good teams, that this would be a very good time to make a significant move as long as we felt it was a good baseball decision. And he always defers to that. He always defers to a good baseball decision. And that's you want the engagement, you want the guidance, you want the direction, and then you love that we're able to do things that we believe are good baseball decisions. And, again, I'll go back to the McCutchen move. We felt that that was a good baseball decision, and we knew that there was going to be angst, and we knew there was going to be anger. But we felt getting Kyle Crick and Brian Reynolds for 1 year of Andrew McCutchen with where we were in 16 and 17 was a good baseball move. And the Gerrit Cole move we felt was a good baseball move. And, again, time will tell if any of these are good baseball moves, but we felt good about them from the baseball standpoint at the time we made those deals.
Neil, do you feel the need, Ray Searidge or anybody on the coaching staff, to change anything from Archer or Kella?
Well, our base philosophy is to establish trust and respect through building relationships. Too many coaches think they have the quick fix, and really all they've solved is one minor symptom. They haven't actually solved the problem. So the problem is going to rear its head in another symptom. What Ray does a great job of is getting to know the player, building a relationship, and really we want all of our coaches to do this, but Ray does this very well. Getting to know the player, what he's done in the past, what works for him. Let him go compete. Let him go do what he needs to do, earn trust, earn respect. And if something jumps out, then we have a conversation. It's not a mandate. It's not a direction. It's not a you must do this. It's a conversation because, especially with major league players, maybe three other pitching coaches or three other hitting coaches have tried to do the exact same thing and it didn't work. So, again, we're looking to get to the root cause before we start making changes. We're looking to have a good foundation. And there are times where that happens quickly. There are times where that does take some time. We want Chris Archer to be Chris Archer. We acquired Chris Archer because we feel he has three quality major league pitches. The slider, obviously, is devastating. We really like his changeup. We like how the fastball plays in different parts of the zone. We love the intelligence. We love the athlete. We love the competitor and feel like there's a lot of really good here. And in Keone Kella, it's power fastball, power breaking ball, competitor, intense, come at you, come get you. There's a lot of things to like there as well. So we do not anticipate significant changes as we get to know these players and as they get to know us and we find ways that we can help them over the course of time. Sure, that's what coaches do. But for the time being, our job is to get to know these guys and figure out how we can best help them over time.
And we'll continue with the Pirates general manager, Neil Huntington Show, Pirates Cardinals today from PNC Park on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back on the telephone line with us is the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show. Neil, Corey Dickerson activated yesterday. Josh Bell still on the disabled list. Dickerson in the starting lineup this afternoon. How do you see Bell progressing?
From what our medical staff has told us, he's progressing well, starting to take light swings and progressing in his baseball activities. So far, so good.
And another move that was made recently was Michael Felice being sent down to AAA. He pitched last night, in fact, picked up the save. What does Felice have to do to get back to the big leagues and help this bullpen?
He has an elite fastball, especially at the top of the zone or when he locates it, situational pitch. But his fastball has elite ride, elite backspin, and does play really well at the top of the zone. The challenge has been it's been inconsistent with the location, and the velocity has been inconsistent. The slider is getting better. The split's a relatively new pitch. Really, we just wanted him to take a deep breath, get down to AAA, get consistent touches, try to refine mostly the fastball and the explosiveness of the fastball and the aggressiveness with the fastball to put him in a position to get some multiple touches, to be utilized and to get in a rhythm and then come back up here and help us.
Neil, do you see from last night's game that you could really use Stephen Brault now that Tyler Glasnow has been traded? A long man, no disrespect to Alex McRae, who was kind of thrust into the situation last night after the Pirates had tied it. What do you think going forward with the long men out of the bullpen?
Well, anytime you need a long man, it means that your starter didn't do his job. So it's hard to blame a long man for a tough outing, because they're there to pitch infrequently. They're there to pitch when your starter doesn't do their job. And our challenges are three consecutive outings now. Our starter hasn't kept us in a game. They haven't done what they've needed to do. And so you're right. We've taken an Alex McRae. We have a handful of other arms that we're looking for someone to take that step up. We're looking for somebody to walk into this role and take it and grab a hold of it. Nick Kingham, we wanted to get options back and try to get him back on track. Clay Holmes is a guy that we certainly can talk about at some point going forward to step in and eat some innings more as a middle reliever than a true long man. But we do. We have a handful of guys internally. We'll continue to look externally and see if there's some way we can solidify that part of the pen. But really, if our starters are doing their jobs with the five back-end relievers that Clint now has, we should be able to win the games that we're supposed to win. And we've got, but there's no question we can find a way to better hold ties, to better hold deficits early in a ballgame than we have here as of late.
No move done today, but Coors Field is looming starting tomorrow night. Do you feel like you're going to have to do something, you think?
Well, we are in the process of sometimes the communication that has to take place from staff to player and then player back to staff and staff to front office. We are going to make a pitching move today. I'm sure it'll be announced here well before game time. And as we go to Colorado, we are. And it may not just be in Colorado, and that's where we've got some guys that are in limbo, the option limbo. When you option a player, he's down for 10 days, and so you don't want to have too many guys in that window, because the only way you can get a player back who's been optioned within the last 10 days is put somebody else on the disabled list, and you don't always have that convenience of a player getting hurt while you need somebody else back. So we are cognizant of that. The other part of this equation is coming out of Colorado. As we've studied it and as we've taken a look at it, it's real, the intensity of the starts in Colorado at the altitude in that ballpark with that offense. It's ideal if you can get your starters an extra day or even two on their next start coming out of Colorado. So we're working through Cannon and how do we best situate this pitching staff to be successful today, first and foremost, and then as we go to Colorado, San Francisco, how do we keep ourselves as strong as possible and put ourselves in a position to win as many of those games as we can? We've got just over 50 games left. We've got a handful of games against Chicago, a good number against Milwaukee, St. Louis. We've got a series against Colorado and Atlanta. So our fate really is in our hands, but we need to go play well. We need to go do what we're capable of, and again, we'll continue to look as a front office to supplement this group if we can.
Apologize, I just saw 15 minutes ago that Casey Sadler has been recalled from Indy and Alex McRae has been optioned to AAA Indianapolis. So we will finish up with the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show on the Pirates Baseball Network.
Sunday home games are kids' days at PNC Park. Next up, the Pirates take on the Cubs, Sunday, August 19th at 1:35. Arrive early and enjoy the number one Cochran Family Fun Zone on Federal Street. All kids 14 and younger receive a W.B. Mason collectible truck when they head into the game. And after the game, kids can run the bases on the field thanks to Rivendell. It's a Sunday Kids' Day when the Bucks play the Cubs on August 19th. Get your tickets at pirates.com/kidsdays.
Don't miss a second of Pirates baseball action. Follow the team for spring training in the Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, and Longboat Key areas, Florida's West Coast. Discover the region's exciting outdoor adventures, its beautiful island beaches, fantastic waterfront dining, and so much more. There's a reason the Pirates make it their home during spring training. Learn more and start planning your trip today at BradentonGolfIslands.com. That's BradentonGolfIslands.com.
Peoples is working to make billing better. With Peoples eBill, your bill is delivered to you electronically without all that paper. It saves you time and saves trees. In fact, if every Peoples customer switched to paperless billing, together we could save over 67,000 pounds of paper each year. Learn more about e-billing and how to sign up at peoples-gas.com/eBill. Peoples, making your life better.
We're back with the Pirates general manager. Last couple of minutes, Neil, the Cardinals claimed Tyson Ross moments ago off waivers from the San Diego Padres. This is when a lot of this stuff goes on for the month of August. And I'm sure that's kind of one of the things you talked about. You're looking, I'm sure, every day at that waiver wire, aren't you?
We are. And as we added last year with Sean and George Contos, there are times that it's by trade. There are times that it's simply the other club wants to move the contract, and so we are. We're aware of players that are coming through trade waivers. Sometimes you pursue a player, you aren't able to get him. Sometimes you claim a player to block him, and sometimes you claim a player hoping they're going to give him to you, and they pull that player back, and they don't give them to you. So there is. It's an interesting but complex time in terms of still trying to acquire players.
Neil, what happens when a team is tied, like the Pirates and Cardinals are identical records? Who gets the player?
That's a great question. It's literally up to the minute standings, and then there is a tiebreaker that goes into a place. So if the two teams are tied, there's a tiebreaker in place that determines who ultimately gets the claim if both make the claim.
Well, that is wild. Well, Neil, thanks so much for your time. We had just a few seconds left. Congratulations again. Talked to you the other day about the trades, and I know you kind of downplay it, but you really have this town abuzz. People have Bucko fever once again. It's really neat to see.
Well, that's great, Brownie, and again, we do appreciate it. We love the fans' passion, and that's where we continue to make the moves we think are the right moves to build this winter, to reward this fan base. And we are going to continue to have to make tough and challenging moves, but we hope they'll stay with us. Our intent is to build a winner. Our intent is to put a team out there that's fun to root for, that's fun to come watch play, and that they can fall in love with. And we've got players like Chris Archer that they do fall in love with, as well as many others.
All right. Thanks, Neil. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Brennan.